Tonight I want to have you open your Bibles, and we're going to look at two secrets. Two secrets. And I believe there are two secrets that dramatically affect the life of every person on this planet. These two secrets are critical for anybody living life to have any kind of fulfillment, any kind of satisfaction and purpose. And when man embraces these two secrets, it opens to him an exciting privilege of living the most rewarding, godly life you can ever imagine. So we're going to get into this, and I want to share this with you. One of the secrets is in the Bible. And the other secret is a statement from a wonderful man of God that is a very important key in getting the most out of your Bible. As most of you know, we have been working different keys these past few months that help unlock the scriptures, help unlock our understanding of the scriptures, of the Word of God, so that we can understand it and incorporate the power of God and the love of God in our lives. So let's take a look at these two great secrets. First secret in the Bible that once revealed opens the door for man to have dynamic purpose in his life, to fellowship with God Almighty. And this secret in the Bible is, in many times, is really called a mystery. And we're going to take a look at it, Ephesians chapter 3. This secret in the Bible, we call a mystery many times. And this mystery was so important, so vital, that God kept it secret from the beginning of time. So in Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. So he's going to talk to them about revealing a mystery, right? A secret. And he said that he wrote afore in few words. Well, when did he write about this mystery in a few words? Well, keep your finger here. If you go back to Romans chapter 16, we'll see perhaps what he's talking about. Romans chapter 16. And there in 16, verse 25, it says, now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of what?
The mystery.
The mystery which was kept secret from when?
Since
the world began. This must be very, very important, that God would have a secret, that he would have something so important, so vital, that he wouldn't let it out to anybody. He didn't tell Moses or Abraham, David, or anybody else. He kept it a secret. He didn't talk to the apostles. He kept it a secret until he revealed it to the apostle Paul. Must be pretty important. Which was kept secret since the world began, but now, verse 26, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So this mystery is being made known, and we're looking at it right now here in Ephesians. So go back to Ephesians. And we're in verse 4 of chapter 3. whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You know, sometimes people, when they talk about the things of God, they come up with, well, you just, you know, some of these things of God are just so big, you really can't know. God really doesn't want you to understand everything. It's just too much. Well, I think God wants us to understand a lot of what he's made available. He certainly communicates that in his word. And here he wants us to understand this mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This is a great, wonderful part of this mystery, that the Gentiles. Now, before this time, what place did the Gentiles have in the hierarchy of the relationship with God? They were down at the bottom. They were outsiders. You know, the children of Israel, you know, God's people wouldn't have anything to do with the Gentiles. But here, God opens the door for everybody, every individual, every single person to have the fullness of Christ in their life. Verse 7, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. This great mystery that's been secret for so long, he's making it known so they can have the fellowship that is available through the knowledge of the mystery with Christ within. And here he reveals that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and of the same body. All right. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know, this. What's that word manifold mean?
Many folds,
many ways, in every aspect of the wisdom of God, according, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did Jesus Christ have a purpose in life?
Oh,
he
yeah.
sure did. God had a purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're the benefactors of it. And yet here it's talking about the eternal purpose, forever purpose. So this is the highlight of the purpose of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he would make it available for any and everybody to be in the one body of Christ. It's pretty neat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at it a little bit more. So let's go back to chapter 1 in the book of Ephesians. And in chapter 1, verse 7, we'll jump in there. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us what? The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. It was God's good pleasure. He was very happy to reveal this great mystery. What was the fullness of it in Christ? And this is what he purposed in himself to do. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. pretty neat, pretty wonderful. Now, this secret, this mystery was so vital, very important, that it be kept a secret, because if the adversary would have known about this, no way would he want the salvation that we have today available. Anybody can get born again of God's Spirit. The Gentile, anybody. And it's through a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, by God's grace, you're saved. And it's a simple act of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want you to see how dramatic this thing is in light of it being held a secret. Because if the devil would have known what was going to happen, he would have been just as happy to let Christ live rather than to have him die and pay the ultimate price for what we have today. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll pick it up in verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, your believing, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Who are the princes of this world? They're the devil spirits, yeah. The devil and his gang. But, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You know, God is all-knowing. He kept this a secret, knowing that this would be a great, great blessing on the people when they heard what this secret, this wisdom was of the mystery. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. That was the devil spirit world. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Wow. I mean, that to me is about as a dramatic a statement I've ever seen anywhere. Can you imagine Jesus Christ not being crucified? The redemption that we experience today would not be available. Jesus Christ had to pay the price. And yet, if the princes of this world knew the wisdom of this secret, this mystery, he would not have crucified them. He would have let them live. So, this mystery, this secret is so important, so vital. And we know that part of this mystery is that the Gentiles would be in the one body of Christ. Well, let's go to Colossians 1:27, and I think this really spells out the greatness of this mystery, this secret that God kept since the beginning of time for our glory. And that if the devil spirits would have known about it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in Colossians 1:27, well, let's look at verse 26 first, because it says there, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. There it is. There's the mystery, that secret, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can you imagine having all that Christ is in you? Well, that's what it's saying. That's exactly what it's saying. Now, believers that know they've got Christ in them, they can walk like Christ did. They can do the works that he did and even greater works. Remember, Jesus Christ said that. And now the devil's spirit world has to deal with thousands, millions of Christian believers. If they stand on the word and confess who they are in Christ. So, no wonder the adversary did not want to see this come to pass, but it was a secret.
He didn't know about it.
He didn't know about it. It was a secret. And thankfully, God revealed it. Now, the thing for us today is that it's not a secret to us. Uh-huh. For so many Christians, it's a secret they never heard about. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that they have the power of Christ in them, that they can walk like Christ walked. And what a privilege, what an honor. We can have fellowship with the Heavenly Father and be so, so blessed. But there it is. That's it. And that's one of the great secrets in the Bible that makes all the difference in the world for Christians walking and living the more abundant life. The other secret that I want to share with you is a statement done by a wonderful man of God, Dr. Victor Paul Wirwo, in a Powerful Abundant Living class, when he talks about the greatest secret is that the Bible is the word and will of God. Because for the most part, people just don't believe it. They don't believe this Bible is truly the word and will of God. Oh, it might have some things in there about God and some nice sayings and stuff, but, you know, man had a lot to do with it. No. This word of God is God's word. And when we know the word of God, we'll know the will of God. And the will of God is that we are born again of God's Spirit, that we learn this first secret that I shared with you so that you can walk as children of God with Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, God's word has integrity. It has value. And what I want to do here, and you guys that have Bibles, I want you to help me out here. I'm going to give you a verse, and then I'm going to have you read it out loud, okay? So, Al, Psalm 19:7, please. Judy, Psalm 12:6. 18:30, Tom. Proverbs 30, verse 5, Shanti. Ted, John 17:17.
Okay.
John 17:17. Dagmar, Psalm 119:105. And then Bob 119:72.
Psalm.
And Psalm 119:162. And then I'm going to do Psalm 138. Oops. Verse 2. So you guys got your verses here? So I want you to read them out loud so everybody can hear that, especially the folks on the conference call line here, so they can get it. All right, let me get my verse.
I have 119.
We're all three 119.
Oh, Fuzz 119.
What's that?
Mine was 162. What was Fuzz?
72.
That's
fine. And you're 105? All right. Okay.
Got it.
All right, we're going to look at the Word to see its own testimony of itself, this wonderful Word of God, which is the will of God. So say your verse and what it says, please.
Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
Yep. Okay, Judy.
Psalm 12,
Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times.
Seven times. That's how pure this wonderful word of God is. Okay, Tom.
Psalm 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him.
Yeah, that's perfect. All right. Sati, Proverbs.
Proverbs 35. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Yeah, it's a pure word. It's not nothing, no additives or anything else. It's God's word. It's pure word. No, John 17:17?
Right.
Ted.
John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy word. Oh, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Yeah, sanctify them with thy word. Thy word is truth. Set apart, special. Great. All right, 119?
Psalm 119, 105. True shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. The revolution of your word, revelation of your word, makes my pathway clear.
Yeah, the revelation of the word makes your path clear.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 119:72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver.
That's God's word. Jeannie?
Psalm 119:162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure.
Yeah, amen. That's how we should treat God's word. Go to the word as we're finding great treasure.
That the manifestation.
Yep. That's right. Psalm 132 or 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Amen.
God placed his word above his name. That's how he feels about his name and his word, putting it above his name. So, you know, this great secret that the Bible is the revealed word and will of God, it is true. It is true, and we always have this wonderful, dynamic word of God that we can trust in. And there's many, many, many more scriptures that testify of that. And that first secret that we can learn, that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we're in the one body together. So what a great revelation all of this is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I share this with you guys because I want you to see how valuable it is, this word of God that you have. And what it says is so phenomenal. It's so much bigger than what we hear in the world today, huh? All the craziness going on, and yet the truth of God's word is so pure, it just shines forth, makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's believe God's word, and let's keep sharing it, too, because this world needs it. Desperately. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and grace in our lives. We thank you that you kept this thing, this truth about Christ in us, and how big that is, a secret, until you made it known to the Apostle Paul, and he had it written out. And we're grateful that we can be a dynamic part of that, Father, and live it to the fullest, and that we can trust in your word, because this Bible that we have contains the word of God and your will. So thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
All right.